Hello, Texans. Welcome in as we've got another big program for you tonight. Now, usually Thursday means the general, John McClain, will join us, but he will not tonight. We will have Nico Collins in a few moments here, Johnny, as I am looking forward to hearing this one. And we've had players every night. We're going to have more players tomorrow, Monday. Let's go.
Yeah, we had good access to the players the last week or so, and that was fun. And they're out and about, you know, doing some things. Saw CJ up at Ohio State Pro Day. Will is down in Galveston, I think, today, doing something with his foundation, with his agents, with, I think, Carnival Cruise Line. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on. Guys are out there. And we get ever so close to April 15th, which is not just tax day, but it's also the first day of conditioning.
Yeah.
Which would be kind of nice to get the guys back in the building.
Can't wait. And one of the guys who really can't wait is Nico Collins, coming off a phenomenal year. We'll talk more about how phenomenal that season was and what the expectations are for 2024. We had a very nice visit with Nico. Old friend of the program, Nico Collins, joining us now. Nico, how's the offseason going for you?
Great, man,
to see you.
Great. It's going great, man. Enjoying it every moment. Got away out the building a little bit. I went to Vegas. Super Bowl,
nice.
And yeah, it was nice.
Nice.
It was too busy though, but it was fun. It was fun. Went back to Alabama, see my fam, and then I ended up going to Hawaii for Kamu wedding. So it was fun. Yeah, good little getaway. First time in Hawaii, you know. Really enjoyed it, but I'm back in Houston now. You know, really lock in, get right, my body back right to it.
That's nice, Nico, getting away. I gotta ask you this because I've been thinking about this since Saturday night.
Okay.
In Indy at about 7:40. I've been thinking, when I saw you, I was going to ask you,
yeah.
When did you know it was you on play number one against the Colts?
Colts? Oof, Wednesday night.
Really?
Wednesday going to Thursday. So Thursday install, we went to the building. You know, we was installing, man, and Coach Lloyd, man, he was like, yeah, it's the first play. You know, it's max protection, man, and X post, you know, and everybody was waiting on that play, man. So everybody knew that was gonna be the first play since Thursday morning. So the juice was only right, man. It was gonna be fun, man. The excitement was in the air, man, and we was ready to go. You know, shock the world. You know, show the world that we wasn't afraid to, you know, attack downfield the first play. You know, and that's what we did. You know, Coach Lloyd, he trusts me and CJ. Man, Seven just went out there and just balled out. You know, put the ball in the right placement, man. Ran under it, put points on the board for the team.
I want to know what was second down in case it didn't work. Then we were going to run this.
Yeah, right.
But
I don't think it was a second down.
As you're running your route, uh-huh. When do you know, I got him?
Yeah.
When did you know?
Really, pre-snap. It was pre-snap. When I went to the field and I seen the safety, he was kind of on the right hash a little bit, not really over me. And the corner was kind of disguising his coverage a little bit, but I seen the safety the whole time. It was like he was kind of looking at me, but you could tell, like, He was kind of disguising, and I was like, "Oh yeah, this it, you know, just attack the DB, and just get on his toes, man, just run, and expect the ball in the air." And Seven, before it broke, man, Seven just like, "Let's go, run! I'll meet you in the end zone. Let's go."
Nico Collins with us. That's no layup catch though.
Yeah, and it was layup. It was.
You,
it was fun.
Well, but you have to get yourself set and mentally ready. What is that like, knowing, hey, I've got to make these contested catches?
Yeah,
you made some incredible catches.
Yes, sir, man. I feel like just reps. Repetition, man, and practice. You know, going against, you know, Sting, Steven, man, just defensive backs, man, just competitive ever since OTAs through camp. Just building that, you know, getting each other better. You know, iron sharpens irons, man. So the grind we put in during practice, man, it shows during prime time. And so whenever, you know, we out there making hard stuff look easy, it's just, you know, because we're in practice going at it, you know, like it's game day, you know, so. We ball out during practice, man, so on Sundays it's easy. We don't even think about it, you know. So I feel like that's what we did, the entire team, you know, every single day in practice, man, just continue to work on our craft and get better and learn it from, you know, the previous games. So
Nico, I thought it was fascinating after the game how many people nationally were like, yo, Nico Collins, man, he's him, he's the truth. But we saw you do that all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
And there were so many great plays, so many great moments.
Yes, sir.
What was one thing in your game that you were most proud of this year that maybe not the first 2 years, but what were you most proud of? Like maybe there's a moment or maybe there was something that you did that stood out the most.
Man, I'll say just watching my growth every week, just watching, you know, the way I just took care of my body and watching the progress from it. You know, you really put the work in. You really see the work you put in, man. And I feel like it showed every single week, man. Just locking in on small things, and it translates on the field, you know. So I feel like for me, man, just watching the growth every single week, man. I really put that on my mind. Just get better, just 1% every single day, no matter what. And I feel like that's what I did, man. Stay healthy as much as I could, make plays for the offense, man. And I feel like now it's only to get better. Yep. You know, just learn from last year. Work on the things I feel like I need to improve on, man. It's a lot. You know, it's always room for improvement on your game. So that's my mindset right now. Just how can I build on last year? You know, so excited for this year, man. And it's going to be fun. OTAs. Some new juice, new faces, you know. So it's going to be fun, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, how about adding Joe Mixon to the mix,
that's
right?
Major.
He can catch the ball, too.
Out the backfield, man. That's big time. I haven't seen him yet, but I heard he's a solid back, too. You know,
you got big paws. You got big hands. And you got strong hands.
Yeah.
Just be careful when you shake his hand.
Yeah. It's one of those.
If you've got a hand injury, don't even try.
I didn't. You know how when you get a handshake, you got to get the hand all the way in. I didn't get it all the way in there, and my fingers are just going red.
It's one of those.
Firm
grip. Oh, yeah. I can't wait to meet him.
Wait,
man.
One more thing
can't
about wait. Your game, Nico. The yak really stands out.
Yeah.
And you talked about mindset. Is that part of it as well? Hey, I
got to
get vertical right now.
Got to go score. You know, and that was a message Coach Lloyd taught, you know, OTAs, man. You catch the ball. Don't try to dance. Just go vertical. You know, it make it harder for the defense to try to attack you because of angles. You know, they're more attack on angles. So if you just go vertical, it's harder. You know,
right.
so for me, it was just more like catch and just go. And just let what happens. You know, just power through it. Get the first down, the extra 2 yards. You know, you can break through a tackle. You know, as long as you go full speed, man, mind on the end zone. You know, anything can happen.
I don't want to focus too much on previous years, but it had to blow your mind the kind of success that the Texans were having this year with the new players and having the kind of campaign you did. So how does that affect this coming season?
Yeah.
Because now you're definitely going to be the hunted
right.
going into the AFC South schedule, the entire schedule.
right, man. I feel like it was real impressive, man, for what we did for new coaches, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, just – new faces around the building, man, and to do what we did last year was surprising. You know, I feel like we surprised a lot of people, but it also shows that the work we've been putting in, you know, from OTAs, camp, and throughout the season, how we just bought in. So I just feel like it's only right, man, we just continue to build and feed off what we did from last year. You know, just losing the first round in the playoffs, man, just didn't sit right. You know, it's like we made it this far, now we see what we can do. No, so let's not have this feeling again. You know, let's get to the AFC, win our division, go to the Super Bowl. You know, just continue to work on the small details. You know, I feel like if you take game by game, man, the rest is for itself. You know, things gonna lay out. You just gotta go out there and be yourself.
Yeah. Nico, the stereotype of receivers, they're me guys. Like, it's all about me. You know, point the finger at me. I look at the receiver room. It felt like, just outside of looking in, it felt like you guys were more excited for each other's success than you were for your success.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of receiver room
you guys had? It is, man. It's like it's no better feeling than seeing your brother, man, just go out there shining, you know, doing what he loved, man. And I feel like when you see us out there having fun, man, you know, out there making plays, you know, celebrating each other's success, man, it's only right. Everybody get bought in, you know, the energy, the brotherhood, you play for one another, man, and you can win as many games you want to like that. You know, when the bond is tight, man, it's no better feeling, you know, and I feel like that's what our receiver room is about, man. We just excited to see each other make plays, you know, because we know what the work we put in, and we know the craft we try to chase, man, and it's no better feeling than see the craft you've been working on show up on film, you know, in front of your brothers, man. You know, he's just like, yeah, and I keep going. You know, you get a smile on your face, like, yeah, you know. So it's good, man. You just have your brothers in there, man, continue to push you, you know, when you really need it. So.
Well, I'm not going to ask you at what moment did you know C.J. Stroud was him, but I got to imagine it was a process almost, a layering. Oh, my gosh, look at this, and one day to the next. How did it go for you? How did you see it?
Man, I feel like when he first came from we first picked him up. He came OTAs, man, and just going through routes on air, man. Just the way he just laid the ball, you know, just easy, a little effortless, you know. And ever since then, you just seen his progression every single day, you know, up until OTAs to camp to the first season, preseason till the end of the season, man. Just like his steady growth every year was just amazing, and you could tell like he came in with the leader mentality. You know, we had his back. He knew it. And he knew he could play with confidence, you know, because we know he knew we had his back 100% of the way, man. I feel like the sky's the limit for him. You know, can't wait to see him rock out this year, man. It's going to be fun.
Nico, right. Mark and I we talk to you about not just our, you know, Texans, NFL, et cetera. We like to talk about college football.
Yeah.
How great a night was Monday night at in your building watching your school win a national championship.
Man, it was amazing. No wonder feeling, man. I actually went to the game. I had to go. Had to support the Boys in Blue, man. Harbaugh. You know, it was no better feeling, man, because they really deserve it. You know, I feel like they was on Harbaugh a little bit. He got suspended a couple times throughout the season, you know, up and down. You know, I feel like it was they was counting Michigan out, man. I feel like they had their backs against the wall, man. And I feel like they went out and just shocked the entire world, you know. So I'm excited for him, man, and very happy for him, Coach Harbaugh, man, and excited to see the way they can do next year.
Nico, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll catch up
soon.
Yes,
sir. Thank y'all, man. Thank you so much.
All right, there's Nico Collins. Johnny, he put together a campaign that was only surpassed by two men in the history of this franchise, and that would be Andre Johnson, who's going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and DeAndre Hopkins, who might go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who I figure would. But anyway, we don't have to talk about that part of it now. But Nico Collins with nearly 1,300 yards, and the yards per catch. I don't want to bog everybody down with numbers, which means I'm about to bog you down with numbers.
Do it.
Well, the yards per reception, 16.2. Through the course of a season, Johnny. Now, how many times did Andre Johnson achieve that mark through the course of a season? Never. And I'm not taking anything away from Andre Johnson. No, I would never. I would never take anything away from Andre Johnson.
No, I know that. I know that. And 16.2, he never got to 16.2?
Never got to 16.2.
Wow.
And you know who else never got to 16.2? DeAndre Hopkins.
Wow.
Which I would think for a lot of people would be easier to imagine, because a lot of us younger listeners, like I'm one of them, a lot of you younger listeners, I had a moment today in the lunchroom because Duquesne was on earlier today and we were watching, and Keith Dambrot is the head coach of Duquesne. And he happened to be the head coach of the first men's basketball team that I was the voice of, and that was the Central Michigan Chippewas. And I mentioned that, and somebody had the gall, the nerve to ask, what year was that? And I was I just didn't want to do it. It was 1992.
Anytime you put 19 in front of a number now,
it's over.
It's
because
you're done.
There were
Forget it.
People at the table who were born not in the 1900s, okay?
Yeah.
They were born in the 2000s. And that just hurt a lot, Johnny. That just hurt a lot. But Dambrot had to depart coaching because of a controversy. I won't get into it right now.
Yeah.
But he overcame it, and LeBron James was his pupil at Mount St. Vincent St. Mary's. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That's the high school. So he was the high school coach there, and he cleansed himself in the waters of LeBron James, and the rest is history. All right. So anyway, why did I bring that up? Yeah, because I saw every play that Andre Johnson ever made in college and the NFL, and called most of them. And he never got to 16 plus in a yard per catch statistical category. So what a year for Nico Collins to have this. Now, I'm not saying he's going to do that every year. In fact, this year, I'll take a little less if Tank's healthy, gets a little more, right? You get a few more receptions going in the way of Joe Mixon. I think C.J. Stroud, with the amount of yards he threw for, that kind of total again, or something maybe a little bit less, I'd be okay with, because I want to see more run game production with Joe Mixon and friends, whatever the friends turn out to be, and in addition to Damian Pierce.
Right.
So, Nico Collins, I mean, what a terrific guy. I was joking with him after the interview. You need to be more of a diva. Where are your diva skills? You're just not one. What a great person to have on this football team.
You know, it's funny. I've seen, he's such a sweetheart. I mean, you never see him without a smile. He greets everybody. I mean, how many times I've gone to the cafeteria, hey, John, what's up? You know, we just kind of chat, just really sweet guy. But there's a switch that gets flipped with him out on the field. And I'm telling you, week 18, that switch flipped in a big way. I'm working on my second mock draft, and both times that I've gotten to Indianapolis, I invoke week 18 Nico Collins rules. You got roasted. You need help. The Colts need to draft a corner. I just can't give them anything else. I mean, I saw it right there. Juju Brents couldn't get it done. Jalen Jones couldn't get it done. They couldn't do it, no matter what was happening that night. The entire secondary couldn't. And when you start thinking about the origination of the Texans, You had to beat Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison and Dallas Clark. You had to cover those guys. You had to rush Peyton Manning. So you made draft picks of Mario Williams, Dante Robinson. You went and got players that were going to shut down or hopefully slow down those great players. Well, that's where the Colts are now. If you're and the Jags and Titans too. They're going to have to go get corners to slow down Nico Collins. They're going to have to go get corners that can maybe even come close to running with Tank Dell. They're going to have to go get more pass rushers to get heat on C.J. Stroud. And hopefully it's going to be that like that for a long time. And that night, week 18, he's just going off, but the switch had been flipped. It was so fun to watch. I loved his answer, though. When I asked him about, because I've been thinking about this for a while, I always, as a coach, I always thought about what my first play was going to be.
Yeah.
Always thought about it. What play did I want to run first play? How did I feel? I got to a point later in my coaching career where I had a few in my mind, and I would kind of let it play out before I would go to that, like, what was I going to do? And then I would tell my quarterback during warm-ups, okay, we're going to start here. This is what we're going to do. He says Wednesday. That was the first that's when they knew this is going to be the first play. And then even in that play, if they had taken him away, they'd run a safety back there or whatever, you know, maybe they could take him away. But just the preparation of from Wednesday to Saturday night at 7, I mean, you got to watch the Colts go on a drive to kick a field goal. You got to wait that whole time, and you're sitting on this secret of, we're about to bomb you first play, and then you do it. That's just awesome.
Well, I was joking about the second down call. What was second down going to be?
Yeah, what was second down going to be?
Because you might have had a first down call had he been tackled with the reception, right?
Yeah.
You
right.
could be tackled in Colts territory, deep
in
Colts low
territory. Red, you know, who knows?
Because he had to engage in a little contact,
a little bit.
Right? And and get the. It wasn't like he was running 5 yards wide open.
Right.
He made a catch.
Yep.
Wasn't fully contested, but it was not a wide open catch. He's great with the hands right
he
now.
Is.
Just great to
he
watch.
Is.
But since you turned it into a cult thing.
I did turn it into a cult thing.
You kind of did there.
I kind of did.
You? Well, because they have to do things to combat the Texans, and you
right.
brought up the Manning era.
Do you
and
agree
that,
with that?
Wait. Oh, absolutely. Mario Williams. When they drafted Mario Williams here, one of the first things that was said, I don't know if Bob McNair said it, Charlie Casserly, hey, see, we got Mario Williams. You got to go after Peyton Manning. See, defense wins championships.
Yeah.
See? Like, they went on that narrative because it was a very clear one. You had to deal with Peyton Manning in the division.
Yep.
Steve McNair was already, he might have been in Baltimore already at that point.
I think
anyway,
he was.
You had to deal with Peyton Manning. They've got to deal with C.J. Stroud in this passing attack. So, yeah, get corners. Now, as far as the Texans go, they are beefing up the D-line. And I know the guys talked about it this morning. They've been talking about it all season or all offseason long. What D'Amico said in the farewell press conference, we need to get stronger up front defensively, get better. I'm paraphrasing here. Mm-hmm. And the question is, have they? I think we all agree they have. Yeah, it's too bad Malik's not here, but clearly that was sort of a, it was as close to a mutual parting of the ways when you hear what Nick Caserio had to say
right.
about it, what's best for the player, what's best for the team. And then you have, well, you couldn't get Rankins back, but you added Fatakasi, you added Autry, you can slip inside. You added other players in the mix at tackle, and the DNs are getting rave reviews all around the national media right now. Look at this D-end group that you have put together in Houston. They've got to go after Anthony Richardson. Since you made it a cult thing, do they have what they need now? Because we all saw the early returns against Richardson. And look, that was, I was shell-shocked the first couple of drives with the Colts because he runs a couple of touchdowns in and then he exits the game and you think you're going to be okay with Minshew. But the fact is, Richardson did damage when he was out there, and I'm wondering what it's going to be like when you see him this year. What is that going to be like? Are you going to be able to contain him? I still wonder what would the rest of that game been like with him.
Yeah.
But do you have what you need up front to deal with Richardson so far?
I think you do when you add in we didn't face Richardson with Derek Barnett, Will Anderson Jr., D'Amico Autry. We didn't face him with those guys. Now, here's the thing. In stopping Anthony Richardson, you can play it a couple of different ways. You can let your defensive ends just hunt running backs and then let your linebackers read, do those things. Now you have Azeez Alshire and you have Christian Harris. Christian playing at a very high level. Hopefully he'll just continue where he was, and not continue, but get better from where he was, where he left off, because where he left off was really good. I think to stop Richardson, I mean, obviously it's a three-level effort, but do you have the hosses up front? I think you do on the defensive end for sure. Defensive tackles, I think defensive tackles are going to be better than people think. It's just, these guys aren't big stars. I didn't really know the names. We knew Sheldon Rankin's name at least. We obviously knew what Malik could do. Maybe you don't know the defensive tackle's names, but I think you're going to end up being okay. And I still think you strengthen a strength that if you get in a draft and there's a situation where you can move around or a defensive lineman falls to you that you really like, you know, a Braden Fiske, somebody like that, maybe Tavondre Sweat, depending on how you feel about it, that you go ahead and snap it up, you strengthen a strength, and you make it that much better. And that's seeming what the Texans have done. Yes, you lost Grenard, so you bring in Danico Autry. Okay, then you get Danielle Hunter. Then you bring back Derek Barnett. You're like, man, it's just one after the other that you're bringing into that position. So do they have enough to slow him down? Yes. I feel like the biggest thing that you have to slow him down is eye discipline. So whatever players you have out there, you've got the athletes and you've got the mix to be able to do it. But because of some of the things that Steichen will do with Richardson, you got to be super disciplined. Super disciplined. Remember the spin out that he had going into the north end zone? I don't know what Will's responsibility was on that, but Will went chasing the running back all the way down the line of scrimmage. Now, the linebacker should then adjust. Linebacker did adjust, but guess what the Colts did? Colts blocked linebacker and forced the defensive backs to come up and tackle Richardson. They weren't able to do it. It takes a full team effort to stop Richardson as a runner. As a passer, you're going to need that obvious pass rush pressure, but you're going to need some stickier corners, some stickier coverage, and hopefully they're going to be able to continue to find those. So hopefully Okuda's that. Hopefully the safeties cover a little bit better. But I feel like they've made additions enough to make it more difficult on Richardson or Joe Flacco, depending on if we see Joe Flacco this year in a Colts uniform. I'm just envisioning what that looks like. What does Joe Flacco in a Colts uniform look like? And I just got a vision. I don't like it, but I have the vision now, and I'm not a big fan of it. I wish he would have gone somewhere else. Let Sam Ehlinger be the backup. We've beaten him before.
Well, didn't I ask you in a more likely to have it or who's better or something, who would you rather face, Flacco or Minshew, quarterbacking the Colts? I think I'd rather see Flacco.
I think I'd rather face Minshew.
Okay.
What has Minshew ever done to the Texans?
Well, he came close to doing something really profound.
Well, I came close to hitting the trash can over there with my wadded up piece of paper, too. I didn't make it.
Look, Flacco had a really good game in the regular season for the Browns and not so hot in the playoffs against the Texans.
D'Amico in this defense put the game on Minshew's shoulders. They knew Taylor was going to get his.
Oh, yeah.
They put the game on Minshew's shoulders in week 18 with everything on the line, and Minshew...
Well, look, he was...
Now, Joe Flacco did that to us in the playoffs. He did the same thing.
It's a good point because they were running on the Texans in that drive.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to get... they were matriculating the ball down the field.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So...
But they weren't doing it because of Gardner Minshew.
Right.
Now, Flacco, you get Flacco, Alec Pierce, Michael Pittman's back. I did give them a corner in my mock draft, I think. I'm pretty sure I did. Indianapolis Colts, I gave them a corner. I said, watch the Week 18 game and the Colts' inability to cover wide receiver Nico Collins, and this pick makes sense. Quinyon Mitchell, Toledo, going to Indianapolis.
Boy, you have really hammered him on not being able to handle Nico.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Imagine if Tank is there, too.
I mean, because why? When you face the best team in the division twice a year.
Yeah.
I mean, my whole thought process goes back to all those years. Like you said, drafting Mario Williams. Omobi Okoye the next year, Dante Robinson years before that, Brian Cushing a couple years after that. There were defensive picks all the way throughout. And why? Well, you had to go beat Peyton Manning to be the best in the division. Yeah. And you had to go bolster that side of the ball. So that's why I bring it up. I mean, could Juju Brents get better? Yeah, he can. But Nico Collins is going to get a little bit better too. And on top of that, the Colts didn't even have to face Tank Dell.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I look at it like this. I'm going to back up your point even further here. In the game where Flacco was so masterful against the Texans, he threw three touchdown passes. Two picks, by the way. Yep. Three touchdown passes. So that was four picks in two games. And two of them
That's the Flacco experience.
Yep. 368 yards, though, in that victory for Cleveland. Yeah. And they didn't run the ball well. The Texans handled the run great with Ford and Strong and Hunt. Texans played great against the run. But the Browns at the time, They were just slinging it and getting it. Mm-hmm. So to your point, if you're gearing up to stop the run thinking Minshew can't beat us like this, Flacco can beat you through the air. He's going to give up some interceptions, but he can beat you through the air. He's a year older. We'll see how that goes. Look, I can't wait. You know they're going to have an early and a late game again against the Colts. It's going to happen. We'll have them early.
Have we ever had, like with the Titans, the last couple of years, it's been week 15, week 17 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Have we had that with them? I can't
with
remember.
Indy? Yeah. Yeah, against in 2018. Remember Luck and company coming in here? What was that, second or what?
But that was the end of year and then playoff game.
Yeah.
But have we ever had it, you know, in the regular season schedule where we've played them that close? It's always been...
Oh, close. I see what you're saying.
Have we ever played them in...
What about
we've done with the Titans. We played them in...
Yeah.
We've done that a couple times with the Titans.
Must have happened, but I can't remember.
I feel like there's always one early with the Colts, yeah. One late with the Colts.
It's always spread out.
It's always kind of spread out.
Spread out more than you think. In fact, even the Jags, I think the Titans are the only team that we've really been that close
right.
with consistently.
Yeah, that's been like 2 or 3 years.
I might not be remembering it exactly.
19 was that way. 19 was that way because we beat them up there. Now, I don't know if it was game. I don't know if it's Titans.
No, 19, you lost to that. Oh, wait, which team?
In 19, you went up there.
You're talking about the Titans?
Yeah, Titans. You went up there. Then you had a week, maybe two, and then you played the Titans again.
In the regular season
finale. And that was, you had the JV lineup going that time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This year it was interesting because when we played the Colts in week two, the teams couldn't have been any more different in week 18. So it actually made for a really interesting kind of combination.
All right. We're rambling and we're scrambling and we're getting ready for more likely to happen. And in the final segment, Drew does a check-in. You got to hear this with Jalen Petrie. So check that out. It's coming up here on Texans Radio. Great to have you listening tonight as everyone at some point, either today or tomorrow, or maybe over the weekend too, will rediscover how to find out where True TV is because this is always an annual thing. Here's a little question for you. What postseason is similar to this where you're like, what channel is it on?
Baseball.
TBS. Exactly.
So when I was...
It's TBS, but... For a while, ABC Family. Remember when they did stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was bizarre.
Yeah. When I was at a competing radio station on national radio, we had a wall of TVs. It was like 9 TVs. And they would all be programmed on different things. So when we got the tournament, obviously, they would put all the tournament games up there. And so invariably, my show being live, midnight to 5, at like 2 in the morning, I would look up there. And I'm like, why? What? Why is Cops on, you know, or something
yeah,
like that?
Because
and then I would realize, oh, yeah, True TV went from the basketball game.
Back to True TV
back
stuff.
Back to True TV. And so yeah. I would end up getting things. Like, and every single early morning I was on, it would just mystify me like, man, what? Oh, yeah, True
Why
TV.
Why not put it? Look, MTV is the same company.
Oh,
Why
yeah.
not put it on MTV? Because what? We have to interrupt the endless loop of ridiculousness? Because that runs every half hour.
What's even on MTV now?
All right, so Ridiculousness is this show where they run viral videos and they comment on them. Those who are listening who watch it know exactly what I'm talking about.
It's like Mystery Science Theater 3000 meets YouTube?
Kind of. It's a panel. It's kind of like a game show, but there's no game to play.
Oh, okay.
Vanderkid was once binging on this, and sampled it for a few minutes, and I got the picture. But if you go to the channel guide, which I still do because I'm fascinated with programming, it's ridiculousness. It's like Friends on Nickelodeon at night.
It's
the
like
Friends
Guy
Channel.
Fieri shows on Food Network where it just goes from one that he hosts to another one he hosts, another one he hosts.
Yeah.
It's like, man, and then it's the Bobby Flay day where it's all Bobby Flay shows.
Yeah. TV programming is more different than
yes,
ever. Okay.
To say the least.
Let's get to a little game that we like to play. And it's really not a game. It's something that we do on Thursday nights. It's just so enjoyable. It's called...
More Likely to Happen.
More Likely to Happen, Johnny. You ready to go? Here
okay,
we go. More likely... I'm going to go in no particular order here. More likely to start more games in Pittsburgh, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson? Who's going to start more games in Pittsburgh in 2024?
I'm going to say Russell Wilson.
Okay.
And one of the reasons why I think that will happen... is there was a clause in the trade that said the sixth rounder going back to Chicago turns to a fourth if Justin Fields plays 51% or more of the plays.
Oh.
So I think they will let Russell Wilson go. He will have a long leash once they get to week 10, where presumably after week 10 or 11, the snaps aren't going to matter. You're going to only give up a sixth. Then they'll go to Justin Fields if the wheels are falling off for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So that I am going with as, yeah, maybe the Steelers getting cute with it. But I think they want to know what they have with Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Let Justin take a step back, watch things from the sidelines. And then when it comes time, okay, Russell, it's really done. I know a lot of people have brought this up, Mark, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. A lot of people have brought up, well, he was 26-8 last year. He threw 20, I think it was 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I think that's what it was. And on the surface, you look at it and go, yeah. But in reality, the Broncos are taking an $85 million cap hit to get him gone.
Yeah. They don't like him.
So well, what Sean does that like tell him. You?
Well, look, I'll go.
I asked that question being
I'll
serious.
Go,
like, what does it tell you?
Further back than that, and it's further, not farther, because it's conceptual. Seattle. Seattle got rid of him. Now, they got a lot for him. They didn't eat a lot. They got a lot.
They got a lot.
Denver had to eat everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Denver had to just take it on the chin 2 years in.
Right.
And that's why Watson Watch is going on now, or really it's been going on since they acquired him. Is this really going to work out? At what point do they eat that contract? They can't do it yet. They got to give him another shot. Mm-hmm. Everyone's talking about, this is a side note, but the Watson, and I shouldn't even go here, but the second half he had against Baltimore going 14 for 14.
Right.
People go right to that.
Right.
Like, that is the great elixir of life. He went 14 for 14 in the second half. That means everything's fine when he gets back. No problems.
He hasn't thrown a ball since that day.
Right. He sat out even more time now. I agree that that was a good-looking half, short passes. But so what? They won the game. He played well in the second half. But you can't assume anything based on that. There are some reserves. I'm sure, what's his name in Chicago? Bagent had a pretty good half at some point. You have to consistently perform in this league. Come on. All right. Let's
go. Well, here's one other thing real fast.
Okay.
We played the Tennessee Titans on January 3rd, 2021. That was the end of the 2020 season.
Yeah, I remember that well.
Now, that feels like a long time ago, right? January 3rd, 2021.
It does, yeah.
It's well over 3 years. He's played 12 games in that time frame.
Ooh, since that finale.
He's played 12 games, not just his 2 years in Cleveland.
Mm.
Sat out the entire 21 season.
Yeah.
Sat out 11 games.
12 games total?
12 games total since that game against the Titans.
Yeah. Well, you could look at it. Well, there's not a lot of mileage on him there, but quarterback, you got to play the position. You got to air it out. You got to get in rhythm. And he's not even throwing yet, right? He's going to throw soon, apparently.
He's throwing soon, but not yet. So, yeah. 21, no games, 6 games last year, 6 games in 2022. Okay. Now, he was 8-4 in those games. So there's that. And obviously, he finished with that game against the Ravens. But in those 12 games, he's thrown 14 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. I know some people would be like, well, you know, okay. You're paying him a fully guaranteed contract of $50 million per year. That's not 14 touchdowns.
You're paying him to be the guy that won the game against Buffalo here in the playoffs.
That's correct.
By himself almost.
That is
almost.
Correct. Yeah.
I mean, made plays with people on his back, made the amazing spin move play. You're paying him for that. That's why you're paying him that kind of money.
Right.
So he can do that magical stuff for you.
Correct.
Not just be okay. All right.
More likely to happen.
I can't believe we went there again. All right. More likely to have a better season. Atlanta. New and improved Atlanta, or the Jets, who are also improving themselves and get Aaron Rodgers back, and they also play the Texans at the Meadowlands at some point in the 2024 campaign. More likely to have a better season. I bring them up together because the Jets have a new quarterback because it's Aaron Rodgers.
Right, right, right.
And Kirk Cousins is in Atlanta, and they both won 7 games last year. So they're not far from being able to elevate. Who's going to have a better year?
I think the higher floor, stay with me on this. I think the higher floor is the Jets. I'm sorry, the higher ceiling is the Jets.
Oh, higher ceiling.
Higher ceiling is the Jets because that defense.
Yeah.
And if Rodgers is healthy, I think higher ceiling is the Jets. But I think they showed last year, if there's no Rodgers, they're a 6-7 win team. I think with the Falcons, there's a higher floor but lower ceiling. So I feel like the gap between what the Jets could do, I think the Jets, without Rodgers, it's a 5-6 win team. With Rodgers, could be a 10-11 team. I think with or without Cousins, that team in Atlanta could win 9 games, 8 games, either way. So I think, and it just kind of depends, when you go to Vegas, are you a little bit more you're going to hit on 16 or are you not going to hit on 16? Kirk Cousins probably wouldn't hit on 16. He's probably sitting on 16. I'm going to roll with the Jets. I was just looking at the Jets trying to figure out my mock draft, what I was going to do and where I was going to go. They just added Mike Williams. They've added 3 key pieces to the offensive line. Now, they're vets. They've been around a little bit. Tyron Smith from Dallas, Morgan Moses, they're 2 tackles. They've been around. They're crafty, but they're older.
That often doesn't go well.
Right. John Simpson they added from the Ravens at guard. That's, you know, the other 2 guys are draft picks that have done well. They just can't stay healthy. I, at number 10, gave the Jets Brock Bowers. So now if you add Brock Bowers to Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams.
I hate that you did that.
With Rodgers and a healthy Breece Hall for the whole year, that gets kind of nasty. That could be, wow. I'm going to go Jets. I'm going to go Jets. You knew I was, I don't say a fan of the Falcons. I was worried about what the Falcons could do, everybody not named Desmond Ridder. Kirk Cousins doesn't ultimately scare me, but because he's got all these weapons.
He's solid, though.
He's solid. And you have Darnell Mooney now. You have Rondale Moore to go with Drake London. You always have Bijan. You have Kyle Pitts. You got an offense, and an offensive line is pretty good. And I think the defense will get a little bit better the more they play together because a lot of guys back on that defense. So they haven't made a ton of changes defensively. They got the 8th pick in the draft. We'll see what they're able to do with that. I have them taking Dallas Turner from Alabama. You put him in that mix. Oh, boy. It gets kind of interesting what they could do. So I still think it's the Jets because I think overall the defense is a little bit better. And I'm just going to roll the dice and hit on 16 that Rodgers stays healthy for the Jets.
Okay, let's get to the next one here.
More likely to happen.
All right, more likely to win the NFC East, Philly or Dallas? Texans play at Dallas this year. Don't know when. Not Philly. It's just the only team they're playing from the NFC East. But I thought I'd bring them up because it's them. Who's going to win it? Are the Eagles' problems over? They got Barkley.
I don't think the Eagles' problems are over from this standpoint. When you're having problems the way they were having problems, was it a result of what they did or didn't have on the field or what they did or didn't have between their ears? Because I feel like that's where that team was lost last year. Now take out Jason Kelce. Now take out Fletcher Cox, arguably your 2 best leaders on both sides of the ball, and a potential trade of Hassan Reddick and aging corners in Darius Slay and James Bradbury. I don't know that Barkley can cover up all of that. And as much as I love Jalen Hurts, and you know I love Jalen, did he show us last year, like, I don't know, man, without Steichen, maybe he's not the same quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Look, that's a really good football team. But look what the Cowboys did or didn't do in free agency. They didn't do anything. Got rid of Michael Gallup. Leighton Vander Esch had to retire. They didn't really add to their team. Now, they obviously won the draft, but they didn't really add to their team. They didn't hit on the draft last year, Mazi Smith. So, and I think if things start going sour with Mike McCarthy, now is he a lame duck coach?
We ask that every
and how
year.
Tricky is that? Now, that could be the case in Philly, too, with Nick Sirianni. So I'm going to go Eagles just because I trust the Eagles more than I do the Cowboys. So that's just the only thing that I can separate it with. So I trust the Eagles to be just a titch ahead. If the Giants, I've heard this rumor about the Giants trading up for a quarterback.
Yeah.
And potentially the guy they like is J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
That could get kind of interesting because I think the Giants are a team to definitely watch with what they were able to do with Brian Burns. Obviously, Dexter Lawrence is still there. Now you put in a guy like J.J. McCarthy can make some plays. I know it's just another flavor of Daniel Jones. No. I studied those quarterbacks coming out of college. They're nowhere near one another other than the fact they are both athletic and can run. Those two are nowhere near one another when it comes to playing that position.
I am going to audible here and do another.
More likely to happen.
More likely to be a bust among these quarterbacks.
Oh. Okay.
Caleb Williams.
Okay.
Jaden Daniels. J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Pick the bust. more likely to be a bust. Doesn't even mean you necessarily think guy's going to be a bust, but you're saying this is the likeliest bust. I know you hate this, but I've got
this
a
is
pretty
tough.
Hot I got a hot take for you.
I like these guys. I do. I don't. Now, Caleb is the one I do think can have the ultimate success. The other guys I feel like getting in the right situation are going to be pretty good. Dan Orlovsky started comparing Jaden Daniels to CJ Stroud, and I just wanted to to Bristol and slap Dan. I like Dan, but sometimes, what? Come on, Dan.
Been in
that's
the studio
just,
too long.
No. Now, what all of them have, and I like, is the fact that when things break down, they can take off and make something happen with their legs and be successful. All of them. All four of those guys you just asked me about. They can all be successful with their legs. Teams aren't going to design too much stuff for them to run, though.
No.
Whereas the Bears had to design stuff for Justin Fields.
Right.
Or he was just going to be a game manager.
But you also
and that was
want
it.
To because he's so dynamic as a runner.
I think the biggest bust out of that group, or the one for potential bust out of that group, it really is the one that goes to the wrong spot, which I know sounds weird, but we've seen so many quarterbacks that you feel good about. Then they end up, they ended up with a crappy offensive line, five different offensive coordinator changes, et cetera. I feel like I'm going to go Drake May.
Yes. Yes.
I'm going to go with Drake May.
That's what I thought.
And I don't love that because I like Drake May. In fact, I just tweeted my where you can find him in the Harris 100. But I feel like there are some holes in his game that he is going to take a lot of risks that aren't always calculated risks. They're just risks because he's kind of a gambler.
Listen, I don't know anything that you know.
Yeah.
But I just watch highlights.
Mm-hmm.
His highlights, to me, are unimpressive. The way he throws the ball, the way it looks, compared to some of the other guys.
He
might be great. Right. I don't know. And look, often they get to the stage and they do well.
Yeah.
The light goes on, and he's wonderful. He's good practice. But I don't know. But that would be my pick,
okay,
too.
So let me ask you this. I'm gonna ask you that same question.
All right.
Where is a quarterback more likely to bust? Chicago, New England, Washington, Giants, Minnesota.
Is it Alex Van Pelt in New England?
Yes.
Because that does
that's the one that stands
out. Factor. I think likeliest bust place, I would say New England.
I think New England, too.
Yeah.
I think New England,
nothing
too.
Against him.
And
I just think it's a tough situation.
So
who
that's
the other
why. Weapons? That's why I had the New England Patriots trading down from 3 to 6, not taking a quarterback.
That's going to be a rough sell.
But wait till you see what happens later in the draft.
Wait till you see the season ticket member erosion in Foxborough.
Rock and roll. They got Jacoby Brissett. Here's the thing. A lot of times when you do that, you're like, well, if we just flame out, we'll just go get a quarterback
yeah.
in 2025. Mm. It's not a slam dunk. A slam dunk in 25.
Coming up, Drew Doherty checks in. A quick check-in with Jalen Petrie here on Texans All Access. We are running out of shows so fast, so let's get right to it. Drew Doherty with a check-in at a Texans event with Jalen Petrie.
Jalen, what's it like optimism-wise right now with this franchise for you?
Oh, it's wonderful, man. All the things that we've done, to put ourselves in the position that we're in is exciting, but next chapter is up, and the work is going to take care of the next chapter. So we got to put in that first, and I think that's where we are right now. But looking ahead, it's going to be fun, I know for sure, and it's going to be exciting to go out there and compete and do the fun things that we did last year with some of the same guys. So, I'm excited, and I'm ready to go.
What you been doing all offseason?
Man, enjoying family, spending a little bit of time away from the facility, just spending more time with family. I feel like that's what offseason's for, and it's been good to decompress, but I'm ready to play football right now. Like a couple weeks is too long for me. I'm ready.
Yeah, and talking with a lot of your teammates, you guys are ready to go the morning after the Ravens game.
That's usually how it is. You're ready to go. You're ready to jump into the next week. But offseason says that you should, decompress and relax a little bit. But, competitors are ready to go. They love what we love what we do, and thank God for it, but it's time to rest a little bit. But for sure, I know everybody here is ready. We can't wait until next season.
No doubt. And, year three for you, year two in this defense. What's ahead for you as an individual?
More learning from my great coaches, more experience from my great teammates and, you know, just more plays to be made. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, just going out there and helping the team win in whatever fashion that is. So, you know, that's what I'm focused on. And like I said, I'm ready to go.
Jalen Petrie, a few members of your defense are here tonight. You, it's Will Anderson, Derek Stingley, Jimmy Ward. How much fun is it just being around them again?
Oh, it's real fun. You know, I spend some time with these guys during the offseason as well. I see a lot of these guys as family as well. So, you know, it's good to spend time with them, but it's time to go. We ready to go.
All right, you're getting better on your own, but how much better do you play, does the rest of the secondary play, with the additions of Danielle Hunter, with the additions of Danico Autry, with the maturation and the growth of Will Anderson and the guys that are still going to be up there up front? What's the level of excitement with all that in mind?
Oh, I'm super excited. You know, our coaches and our staff upstairs have done a great job at getting the right guys in up to this point, and I have nothing but the utmost confidence in them to continue to do that. So just seeing new guys come in, new guys that have done a wonderful job in the league, new guys is going to come in with the draft, you know, I know it's going to be exciting, and we're going to get more playmakers in here, get NRG rocking like we usually do.
Jalen Petrie, cool to have another guy from the Houston area and Danielle Hunter coming back?
Man, is it? Is it? And a dog like him, a dude off the edge that can just mess up somebody's day like him, on the side of Will Anderson and Autry and all of these guys that we got, like, it's crazy to think that I'm in the back end playing with them. Like, it's a dream come true. You know, I'm excited.
Going out around town, what's it like now versus maybe this time a year ago, this time 2 years ago as a Texan?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely different. You know, you walk in places and people definitely recognize you. They're showing love. And, you know, it's a different feeling in the city. So, you know, we want to just keep that going and do even more for the city, you know. Continue to help out on and off the field and continue to provide hope for those outside of the facility.
All right, what's next for the secondary as a whole?
More turnovers. I think that's the biggest thing that we can help out with, and just more swagger and more confidence. You know, we have great guys in that room, and I'm looking forward to, you know, just continuing to grow with them and just continue to help out as much as I can.
Jalen Petrie, always good talking with you, my friend. Thanks
yes,
a lot.
Sir. Every time, man. Appreciate you.
There's Drew with Jalen, and this entire show will be on podcast soon enough. We'll be back tomorrow. More Texans players, more fun. Thank you, Chris, for producing. Area 45 next. Have a great night. Go Texans.